Welcome to the Witchy Spellcast. I'm Kara, joined by Saya and Rowan, your mystical guides. Whether you're a seasoned witch or a curious seeker, join us to explore spellcraft, herbal remedies, and more. Let's embrace the enchantment, unlock secrets, and discover the magic within. Your magical journey starts here. All right, well, we were good for like 5 minutes. Remember, you gotta stay quiet while mommy's recording. Can you stay quiet while mommy's recording? What? Are you trying to play peekaboo with Saya?
Sorry, I will trigger it. I'm sorry. Welcome back, casters. It's another episode of the Witchy Spellcast with a special guest, Baby G. You may or may not hear him in this episode, and that's because life happens and one of us is a mother. So
yeah, at least he stopped copying me.
That's a very fair point. That was kind of funny, though.
I can't copy you, Mommy.
You have to keep that in. It's so precious. Today we're going to talk about midwinter celebrations and Imbolc and a few other different things, but primarily that's where we're going to focus. I think in the new year we're going to kind of have a bit more structured episodes, maybe.
Wow!
Season. Mm-hmm. Yes, very much wow. Thank you, Baby G. I'm excited for it too. So we're doing midwinter, Imbolc, different kinds of late winter, midwinter celebrations. I'm going to talk about some, like saying goodbye to the winter celebrations that they do in Eastern Europe, which I think are super cool. That's really it. It's a long intro. Sorry.
Oh, it's not a long intro at all. I'm talking about Imbolc and midwinter, and I'm even going to talk a little bit about what goes on in Italy.
Ooh, how cool.
Not a super in-depth look or anything like that, but a little, like, sprinkle. Nice
just
little
a sprinkle.
Sprinkling.
A nice little Italian sprinkle.
Just a nice little sizzle there.
Yeah, I love it. I'm excited. I love learning about, you know me, I love learning about different cultures and different religions. It's, like, part of who I am is this weird religious sponge. So.
Religious sponge.
Well, religious or spiritual sponge, we'll say. So I really love learning about cultures and religions that I'm not part of or aren't part of my religion or history or ancestry.
Ancestry, religion.
Any of it. So I'm all excited. Yes. Did you have anything interesting happening, excuse me, astrologically?
Ow. Hey, kid, knock that off. Let's see here. So it goes up on the 20th. So
I believe so, yes.
So we just had the first new moon of the year.
Ooh, how exciting.
That was on the 11th. But when the day this episode goes live, the sun has moved into Aquarius and Aquarius season has officially begun, which... Hey, would you stop?
I'm copying you.
I know you're not copying me. And let's see here. And before the next episode goes up after this one, we'll have the full moon too. Because the full
moon. Nice.
The full moon is on the 25th.
The 5th?
Is that the... No, that's not the first new moon of the year, is it?
No, it's the first full moon.
The first full moon. I'm sorry. Yeah. It is.
So, it's the first full moon of the year. It is on the 25th, is what I said. Yeah.
Yeah,
the 25th. And it is in Leo, which it always is whenever the sun is in Aquarius, because it's the opposite. And, and it is the wolf moon.
What is the wolf moon good for? like setting intentions or self-reflection. I assume the moon is all about reflections because it's got to do with the ocean and the ocean reflects things. That's just how my TISM brain works. But
well, the it's diff, like there's like certain phases that it's about reflections. But hold on, I would have to go get my book.
Don't worry about it.
Daddy's here. Go get Daddy. I'll be right back.
Run quickly to Dad.
So the first full moon of the year is called the Wolf Moon, and it's in Leo.
No,
his dad now has him.
Okay, the Wolf Moon is the one on the 25th, correct?
Yes, the Wolf Moon is the 25th. I grabbed my book while I was in there. The Wolf Moon is always going to be the full moon in January. So it just depends when it hits. So the way that the moon is right now, we have the full moon in Leo, which is the Wolf Moon. But sometimes it could be the full moon for, oh gosh, Cancer. So it could be a full moon in Cancer if the sun is still in Aquarius when the full moon hits in January. But the Wolf Moon is always going to be the full moon that's in January.
Got it. Okay, got it. The only thing I know for a fact about full moons and their names is that the one in November is called the Beaver Moon because it's my husband's birthday. 9 times out of 10, the full moon is his birthday and it's the Beaver Moon because he always makes a sex joke about it. So, about beavers and full moons and his birthday. So, fill in the blanks.
I was actually born on a Beaver Moon.
Yeah, you and my husband are born like 3 days apart.
Yeah. So I was born on a full moon.
Fucking Scorpio.
Anyways, the Wolf Moon reminds us to get in touch with our intuition and animal instinct and to acknowledge what we may be hungry for in our own life.
Ooh, I like that. Hungry like the wolf.
Hungry like the wolf.
It's an excellent woo.
And as a, like, and always remember that full moons are that, like, it's the big celebration, right? So, like, if the new moon we're setting intentions, and we then after that with the waxing moons we're acting on those intentions. The full moon is celebrating what those actions have already accomplished.
So the waning moon would be the reflection of
the waning moon. Yeah, the waning moon would be releasing energies that we no longer need.
Okay, and so, I understand.
Yeah, so the full moon's really about, like, and we'll talk really into this episode, actually. Like, we're going to go really in-depth with this stuff next episode.
Which I'm super excited about, because you and you and Rowan are going, like, full kilt to the moons this coming year, and I'm really excited to kind of like quasi learn through you both. So, just like I'm sure I'm gonna info dump about Lilith and Lucifer to both of you. Like,
oh yeah, for sure.
I have to. Who else is gonna listen besides our casters?
Well, that's the point, right?
Yeah. Hopefully the casters get some sort of, I don't know,
enjoyment,
spiritual enjoyment,
enlightenment.
I don't know about enlightenment.
I mean,
no, it sounds a bit culty. I'm not
we're
here.
We're starting
to
a cult.
Yes, no,
we're starting a cult.
Oh, we would spiral so fast. There'd be too many side projects.
That's the new t-shirt design. We're starting a cult! Exclamation point.
We just need like a list of quotes that are gonna eventually make it onto t-shirts.
That's what the notebook would be for.
Yeah.
Just a list of quotes.
Yep.
Alright. So, do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
I can go first. It's not a whole lot, but it's what I've got. And it's mainly Slavic mythology, because Eastern Europe mythology is pretty widespread when it comes to, like,
like the bullet points, like the fine details are where it gets like regionally different.
Yeah.
So like the pronunciation of the name might be different in Poland as opposed to Russia or Ukraine or Belarus or wherever.
Yeah.
But primarily in the late winter, people will make effigies out of like dead things, like dead plants, like primarily straw and hay. You think corn husk here.
Yeah, which is similar to in bulk.
Correct. So they make effigies of Morena, who is the sorry, I'm scrolling. The goddess often linked to winter, death, and the changing of seasons. So in the late winter, when the days start getting longer, Slavic tradition is to create and then either burn or bury or sometimes even drown the effigy of Morena because she represents the winter. And then it's most common to burn her because then you're triggering Dashbog, which is the solar god or god of the sun in Slavic myth. So you're triggering him to be like, hello, here. The sun is here. Look at us. Bring your warmth here. You know, that kind of vibe. So you're trying to welcome him to your area by burning off the winter or by burning things that represent the winter. And that's like one of the biggest still ongoing traditions.
Nice.
In most of Eastern Europe or in Slavic tradition, in Slavic nations, excuse me. So they even call the figure Morena. Instead of it being a figure of Morena, it's just this thing is Morena, which I find very interesting. So like if you made an effigy of Thor, you would just say this is Thor, not this is a figure of Thor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is Thor.
This is him.
And then you burn it. I feel like it's crazy to think that, like, because in most cases, you know, you wouldn't burn an effigy of your god or your patron goddess or whatever. So it's really weird to hear that they burn it. Like, also kind of feels witch burning at the stake vibe too.
It does. It does. the effigies symbolize the harshness of winter, not necessarily the deity. So it represents all of the death that's brought about with the winter. And it says, if they're drowned in a spring or a lake, that's mainly for the anticipation of winter and less about bringing back the sun, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So people also do, we kind of talked about this a while back, is they'll dress in costumes and parade around the city.
It's which a lot of things.
It's so many things. So Slavic people love a good costume, which totally explains my personality. I also love a good costume.
Oh my goodness.
So they love costumes, they love parades, and they love feasting. And I'm just like, yeah, here we are. Let's go, my family. So they like will dress up. Let's see what it says they dress up as. So they engage in processions and ceremonies to bid farewell to the winter. Participants often wear masks or costumes representing spirits or deities associated with the changing seasons. So they would dress up as Morena or Dashbog or even Mokosh, who is the earth goddess. So like Mokosh and Dashbog are frequently compared to as like the divine couple, like Green Man and the Mother Earth. Yeah. So it's like them. So people would dress up like them. And sometimes people will carry the sun on a stick, you know? You've seen this. You know what I mean? Like they make the little thing and it's got bells and ribbons and they spin it. It's very pretty.
Yeah.
They carry that in the parade to like show the sun where to go.
Yeah.
So like, this is our town. Hello, sun. Welcome back. And, you know, like with almost every religion, at every holiday, there's always a feast. There's always food.
Yes.
But a lot of the time, pagan religions will do offerings of like the best pieces of their food, or sometimes mm-hmm. they'll make a separate plate for a deity. Same thing here. So we've got burning effigies, we've got parades, we've got food, we've got offerings, all of this other stuff. And offerings that are made to like the spring deities are mainly seeking favor for like bountiful harvests, because you're like choosing one over the other, if that makes sense. So people would offer the best of the food that they had left, because again, harsh winter in Russia, pretty much, like yeah. there's nothing. So they're yeah. offering the best of what is left to their deity to come back and bless them for a new harvest, instead of offering it to like the earth goddess or the rain god, you know, whomever, to like
yeah.
it wouldn't make sense for them to offer it to Perun, because he's like the war god and thunder god. Like, yeah, you need water to raise crops, but you need sun and earth more, which is why Dashbog and Makosh are so important during yeah. this time. And I think the worst part about this research that I'm doing is that there's very little written history about what and when they did anything. I just know, like, about this time, in about yeah. this area, this is kind of what they're doing. So it's a little frustrating.
Yeah, but that is frustrating to not be able to, like, pinpoint.
Yeah. It's because that area of the world was Christianized in, like, 500.
Yeah.
So it was
very Christianized little time. Pretty, yeah.
Very like, little time for written history. I didn't even know they had written history then. So
I mean, a lot of it would have been like word of mouth. That would have exactly. eventually been written. Yeah. And a lot of things can get lost in translation and lost in the it's the whole telephone thing, right? Like
yeah, exactly. But that's kind of what we do in that part of the world in this time of the year. We are burning stuff because fire's warm. It fire's looks like warm. The sun.
Yep.
You want to burn off the winter. I get it. I do too. It's supposed to get 19 degrees here on Tuesday, and I'm like, what the actual shit? I thought I moved to Florida. 19 degrees is a bit much. Yeah, I'd burn. Oh, it's pitch black outside.
Like, yeah.
It's still daylight here, but 19 degrees is going to be cold. So I fully understand, like, wanting to burn away the winter and welcome back the sun and the warmth and everything that grows. Because I miss the sun.
I was going to show... I didn't realize it was already dark out, which I should have known, considering it gets dark out at 5. But it's been snowing all day. Here.
Oh.
Yeah. We're Damn. Supposed to get, like, I think Tuesday we're supposed to get 8 inches, is what the thing says.
God dang.
So it started snowing this morning. I didn't know it was supposed to snow this morning, so I thought it was kind of, like, poetic to be recording about midwinter, and it's, like, literally
midwinter. Yeah.
It is literally snowing sideways outside.
Insane. I miss the snow, especially like because snow absorbs sound. That's why it's always so quiet when you go mm-hmm. out after a big snow. It's because it's sound absorbing. Yeah. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but it's a fun fact about snow that I know. That is something I miss is like going out after a really bad snowstorm and just listening. You can like hear it hit the ground, the snow.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear it falling, and that's like one of my favorite sounds. It's just quiet. And it's just love
yeah,
it.
Yes, that little crackle.
Yeah.
Tiny little crackle. You can hear it. When it hits mm-hmm. like your face too, you can hear it like almost kind of like a sizzle. Like,
yeah.
Like
that's ASMR that I would listen to. Absolutely.
Snow falling? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Although the wind has been atrocious. Like that is the downside. Like it is really pretty snow. Like it's a lot mm-hmm. of snow. It's like really thick. Like
oh, like the big chunky snowflakes?
Cotton ball snowflakes, right? But yeah. The wind, like my mom, when she was driving on the interstate this morning, couldn't go over 60 because it was pushing her car if she went any faster, like to the side.
Oh my gosh.
So, and I, Like, the wind blew my part to the opposite side. Like, I walked outside to take something to the car at the mall, and the wind just went, it re-swooped the other direction.
That's hilarious.
I was like, I just got it cut and styled, goddamn.
The worst. Down here, when you get your hair cut, unless you tell them not to do it, they, like, automatically do the beach curls. Like, the, I don't know what, how else to call it, but, like, they just auto-do it. And, like, it's not like they charge you for it, because they, like, cut and style your hair. That's part of what you're paying for. And, like, they always get really disappointed, because they'll go to, like, take a picture of my hair after it's done, and it's already falling out of the curl, and I'm just like, just don't.
Yeah, your hair can't hold a curl.
Not at all.
Not at all. My hair is, like,
very fine and very straight.
Like, they didn't do anything to mine after cutting it. Like, other than...
so good.
Like, but I have a natural wave.
Yeah.
And if I...
poker straight.
Yeah. I can get a curl out of it if I, like, right after I wash it, if I, like, twist it a certain way and let it dry like that, it'll be curly.
Yeah, that's how I can do mine. But then, like, if I touch it, if I brush my hair while it's wet, the curl is gone. I have to just... yeah. Like, tie it up in a towel and leave it curl that way and leave it dry and then not touch it. Then it might stay.
If I want really tight, like, waves and curls, I'll just braid my hair whenever it's wet and, like, whenever I wake up and it's dry, it's really nice, like, tight little waves with some curl to it in places.
Ah, the struggle of being a female.
Yeah.
To hair or not to hair. That is the question. Every now and then I get a severe urge to just hack it all off. And then I'm like, remember last time you did that and you had a meltdown? Like,
I wish I could have long hair, but my hair is so thick and heavy.
Yeah.
That, like, even the, like, all of the stylists that were in there, they all have cut my hair at one point. Because I don't ever go to the same person. They just rotate. Right? And the one girl, she, when I came in, she goes, I have not seen your hair that long in years. And I was like, yeah, it got kind of out of hand. And the lady who did my hair this time was it's first time her doing my hair. Mm-hmm. And the whole time she goes, your hair is so heavy. It's you have so much hair. And the other girl's like, yeah, she does. And I was like, it's painful.
It's a rumor amongst the stylists how thick your hair is.
Like,
it is
a lot of hair.
Well,
it is a lot
of hair. So.
Yeah. I got a lot of hair everywhere.
New hair, new year.
Yeah. I wish I would have gotten it done sooner. But it was kind of like a birthday outing. My mom's birthday was yesterday, so.
Oh, that's nice. I love that.
She got herself one of those little, like, glass teapot with the teacups from Target that I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
She got one. It's blue glass because she loves blue.
Ooh. I bet it's gorgeous.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, really well, like, made too. Surprisingly, considering it's from the dollar spot.
What the fuck is this? I wear an Apple Watch, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes I get notifications from Instagram that it's like, hey, check out this post that this person posted that you don't follow.
Yeah, I get that too.
This one is a man laying on a bed covered in bags of Cheetos. So,
okay. Regular Cheetos or Flaming Hot Cheetos?
You know what? I think those are Flaming Hot Cheetos. Because he has socks to match and a pillow, and I think he even got one in his hand. Anyway, it's just bananas.
All right. Well.
Yeah, that was a nice side tangent to go on.
So, what part of that Slavic tradition are you planning on, like, working with?
So I probably won't make an effigy, but I will probably burn something, because I'm in a safe environment that I am in control of, and so I can handle the lighting of candles and the burning of sage and things like that. So I'm probably going to grab my fire pit out of this garage and burn like a singular thing, like a single log.
Yeah.
Just because that's enough. Like, I don't need a big thing. I don't need a big hoopla. Yeah. And then I'll probably talk to the ancestors. So.
Yeah. Some places, I don't know where I read this at, so I don't know where it's from. And I could probably be pulling this straight out of my ass. Maybe 100%. But some people, like, if they get a real Yule tree, mm-hmm. like, they'll, like, take part of it. Mm-hmm. And they use it the next year for their Yule log. And then after Yule, they'll take that and burn it at in bulk.
Oh. Okay.
So I might be pulling that straight out of my ass.
I don't think so. Because it seems very right. Something that they would do. It seems very, pagan enough for me. So.
Because
I went to the Yule festival here in town with our local metaphysical gal. Mm-hmm. And it was an excellent time. And they grabbed the Yule tree and hucked it in a fire.
Yeah.
And that shot way up. So I fully expect her, because the stem of the tree, what do you call that? The stem of the tree?
The top part?
Main section of the tree that all the branches come off of?
That's the trunk.
I thought the trunk was just the bottom.
No, the trunk's the whole thing, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, well. The trunk of the tree obviously didn't fully burn.
Yeah.
When it whooshed. I fully expect that she could have, like, chopped the bottom part of that off and made a new Yule log from that.
Yeah.
Because that would make sense.
Yeah.
In my brain.
It seems very
pagan.
Yeah. And I'm sure, like, even if I am pulling that out, that would definitely be something I would do. Like, if I'm going to have a real tree, I'm going to cut, like, the bottom part of the trunk off. Keep it for the next year as a Yule log, mm-hmm. because traditionally they threw Yule logs in the fire. They used them.
Yes.
Like, the next year they used the Yule log in the fire, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, nowadays you drill holes in the Yule log and put candles.
Yeah.
So, like, that's what I would do. And then on in bulk, I would just burn that, right? Like, because you're going to ceremonially burn that Yule log, and why not do it then? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it makes sense. At least in my brain, reduce, reuse, recycle.
Yeah, like, it makes sense in my brain, but I'm probably pulling it out of my ass. I don't even know where I read that at.
You have read so much that I'm sure it's in somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, you've read so many like, witchy books that I'm 100% sure that's not from your butthole at all. So...
It
would be cool if it was straight out of nothing. Like, I buy it. Like,
yeah. if you've heard this before and I'm not, like, losing my mind, please let us know. DM the Instagram and tell us, yes, you have heard it and this is where you've heard it from, because I have no idea where I heard it from. But I 100% know I read it somewhere or I am making it up. But I have to add that disclaimer because I don't know where I got it from.
Disclaimer, this is in my brain and I don't know why. Oh my gosh.
I think it fits.
I do too. I think it makes total sense. Wait, is M bulk or M block? Where's the L?
So it is spelled I-M-B-O-L-C, but it's pronounced M bulk. Listen to it. Like, I did the little, like, pronunciation. Mm-hmm. Or it's in bulk.
In bulk. Okay.
Yeah, in bulk.
I have mispronounced it. I'm so sorry.
It's fine. Everybody does.
I've said so it like, in block.
Yeah.
I switched the L.
Yeah, the L is after the O. But so the I-M-B-O-L-C spelling is a, like, traditional Celtic spelling. Mm-hmm. And then, like, modern spelling is a G instead of a C. So you could see in bulk or in bulk with a G. I think it's probably pronounced differently, but I couldn't find a pronunciation guide for that one. So it might be pronounced in bulk, but I don't know.
Wouldn't it be a GH?
No,
it's
going just
Celtic.
No, it's
like Lugud.
No, it's just a G instead of a C. That's all the differences. And that's how it's spelled. That's also how it's spelled in my Italian witchcraft book, too, with the G. I don't know if you can see that.
Yes. Yes, I can.
Yeah. Candlemas.
It's Candlemas. Yep. I'm so excited.
Yeah. There's So, I'm going to go ahead and talk about Imbolc.
Yeah, because
I think
ahead.
We're ready for it. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, there are multiple different names for this celebration. Mm-hmm. But most important to know, it is a Celtic celebration. So it was originally Celtic in nature. Mm-hmm. It was also known as the Feast of Brigid,
mm-hmm.
Who is the goddess of, she's a fire goddess. She's tied to the hearth and home, protection, fertility, arts, and healing. So this holiday was all about celebrating her.
Mm-hmm.
So it was called the Feast of Brigid in bulk. But whenever Christians started Christianizing, they
as
turned Brigid into a saint,
mm-hmm.
and they called it St. Brigid's Day,
mm-hmm.
and then Candlemas. So, Christians be Christianizing.
Why can't they just leave it as a saint? Like, saints, whatever. Anyway, that's a whole rabbit hole.
So, St. Brigid's Day, I think, was the Christianizing. And then mm-hmm. Candlemas is the Catholicism.
I see. Okay.
Because when you look at the Italian witchcraft book, mm-hmm. it has Candlemas and it's talking about Catholics who mm-hmm. Christianized Italian witchcraft stuff, like the Romans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I'll talk about that in a minute.
I'm excited
first.
Yeah. Let's get the base out of the way.
Yeah, let's see. So where am I at?
We were talking St. Brigid's Day becoming Candlemas.
Yep. So, but pagans now, modern pagans, we call it Imbolc. Mm-hmm. It's even kind of so originally it was just a Celtic celebration, and you know, the tradition, the modern pagans kind of have taken that into part of their Wheel of the Year for it as well. So more modern, Wicca and other pagans who follow the Wheel of the Year, they celebrate in bulk. But you can also just call it midwinter too, right? Mm-hmm. So you can, if you don't want to celebrate it by this is the Celtic version, this is the Italian or whatever, you could just say, I'm celebrating midwinter, because you are.
Which is
right.
What I would refer to it as.
Yeah. Which,
as much as I don't want, I'm trying to forge my own path, etc. As much as I'm trying to do that, it's hard to be it's hard to stray away from the actual, I don't want to say the actual, the mainstream, quote-unquote,
the structured
holidays that are already established.
Yeah,
it's hard to be
yeah, it is hard to stray one way or the other, but not everybody celebrates it that way or celebrates it because Imbolc is all about Brigid. Mm-hmm. So if you're wanting to celebrate the same themes but you're not gonna celebrate Brigid, then mm-hmm. you're just celebrating midwinter, which is still fine. But if you want to call it in bulk, whatever, right? Because you're doing similar things.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, right? That makes sense.
What I found interesting, and I'd never read this before today, actually, is when I was looking up midwinter, different things midwinter-wise, just midwinter, that's all I typed in, to see, mm-hmm. If there was anything that I didn't know, any other holidays that we might bring up or something like that.
Oh yeah.
Traditionally, midwinter was synonymous with Yule. Traditionally, they called Yule midwinter, which makes no sense to me because back in the day they considered Yule as the middle of winter. But now the modern Yule being the winter solstice, the beginning of winter, that's modern.
So Yule or midwinter was what, the equinox? The winter equinox?
I don't know.
It'd be the mid part, right?
Like, no,
God,
no.
The damn you, Julius Caesar, for adding, or whoever, for adding months to our calendar.
No, I don't think it was everything. Like, no, they, like, the winter solstice, the day of the winter solstice, also Yule, they called it midwinter because in their, like, their lives or whatever, it was kind of the middle of winter for them.
Fair enough.
Is what I read. So, but I had never read that before today, which was really interesting to me. Because, like, I've never thought of December being midwinter.
Well, yeah.
Never.
I'm trying to think. Like, what would you consider the winter months?
I would consider the winter months the December, January, and February.
Yeah, so do I. Because November is still the fall, and March is the very beginning of spring.
It's the first, like, yeah, the middle of March is the first of spring. Like,
yeah, and there are four seasons in 12 months, so everything's broken into threes. Which,
yeah. And there's, and so, like, if we're looking at it, things astrologically, and that was a little bit of a tangent, but fun fact as well, but, like, if we're looking at things astrologically speaking, Imbolc is always going to be the sign of Aquarius. It's always going to be in the sign of Aquarius, right? Because Aquarius starts in January and ends halfway through February. But if you're if you want to celebrate it astrologically, if you want to celebrate Imbolc astrologically, you would have to celebrate it when the sun is at 15 degrees Aquarius, because that specific day is the exact midpoint of winter.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Is that day a specific day each year?
No,
does, like, it change?
It can change.
Oh.
So, but if you're wanting
a fluid holiday.
Yeah. So, but it is near the 2nd of February, right? So, it's always going to be near it. It's usually, like, around, like, the 5th or the 6th.
That's funny. Okay, sorry. My brain is trying to tie it to Groundhog's Day and, like, six more weeks of winter, etc.
Kind of. So Imbolc, so they traditionally celebrate Imbolc. You celebrate it from the 1st of February at sunrise until sunset on the 2nd of February. And yes.
All us Americans are doing on those 2 days is waiting for a groundhog or a rodent to emerge from the ground to predict the future of the weather. It is a countrywide witchcraft practice. You can't tell me otherwise. So that's what we as a country do for Imbolc.
Basically, yeah. But and I feel like we can connect Groundhog's Day. Because I feel like there is significance to why they chose the 2nd of February for Groundhog's Day. But we celebrate it from sunrise on the 1st of February until sunset on the 2nd. And the whole idea of Imbolc is to turn outwards and go towards the light, because we've spent so much time hibernating in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to wake up from the winter. Yeah. That's like, because it's smack dab in the middle of the winter, we know we still have winter left, because if we're speaking astrologically, we still have the rest of Aquarius season and all of Pisces season for winter, right?
Yeah.
So we still have until the middle of March for winter, technically, which is 6 weeks, by the way. Okay. Which is about six weeks, by the way.
About 6 more weeks of winter.
Always will have 6 more weeks of winter. We will always have six more weeks of winter.
The groundhog is a facade.
The groundhog is going to tell us if we're going to have 6 more weeks of bad winter.
Okay.
That's what it is, and that's what gets lost in translation here, is because he decides whether or not the winter is going to be bad for the rest of the season.
Do we need to make the groundhog a deity? Because I feel like, kind of, yes. I think he has a name. Or, like, is it a new groundhog every year?
It depends on where.
The groundhog?
Pennsylvania. Punxsutawney Phil is one of them. But there's two. There's one in Punxsutawney, which I think is, you know.
Yeah.
The one.
Yeah.
And then there's another one on the in Virginia, maybe? There's the PA one is what we always look at. Mm-hmm. But there is another one, too. There's two. Because I always remember... I always remember my mom going, well, Punxsutawney said this, but so-and-so said this, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they have, like, conflicting predictions.
They're in two different areas, though.
Yeah, they're always going to be...
And there's always cameras. There's
always a chance.
There's always cameras, which messes with it, right? So you're going to have cameras, you're going to have flashes, which are going to create shadows.
Yeah.
So if you take a picture of the rodent coming out of the hole...
With your flash on.
And he looks down, he's going to see his shadow if you hit him with the flash.
And you're going to traumatize him. To our non-American listeners, I am going to just briefly explain Groundhog's Day because we've been talking about it. I don't think we've ever explained it. In the United States, on February 2nd, about midwinter, for some reason, unbeknownst to me, I don't know the history, we... I guess gather around a groundhog hole or a gopher hole and wait for it to emerge from said den or hole. And then if the groundhog or gopher sees its own shadow, that predicts 6 more weeks of winter. If it does not see, 6 more weeks of bad winter. If it does not see its shadow, we get 6 more weeks of winter, but it's just not as bad.
Yeah. Which it's our snow tracking device, basically.
It's again, such a pagan thing to do as an entire country. And the only way I remember when Groundhog's Day is because in elementary school, I had a very good friend whose birthday was February 2nd. And that My was like a whole big deal. She had like a beaver themed birthday.
What? Right? Is that even a beaver?
I'm sorry, groundhog. Beaver. It's beaver. Oh, I know why I thought beaver. My brain. Anyway. Sorry, groundhog themed birthday. Whatever. Groundhogs and gophers are the same thing. I'm pretty sure.
And gophers aren't, I don't think they're the same thing. Gophers are smaller.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh. Some sort of ground rodent, large ground rodent that
they're huge
holes.
Listen, yeah, there's groundhogs on the side of the road all the time over here, and they are huge.
They are bigger than possums.
Yeah, they are bigger than my mom's smallest dog.
Yeah. What kind of dog is it?
Pomeranian.
Yeah.
Pomeranian Chihuahua mix.
Yeah, bigger than a Pomawawa.
The Pomawawa.
Chimeranian.
They're also min pins too. They are a really weird mixture.
They're also really mean.
Farrah and Rafe, they are very. Rafe is the one who bit you.
I know.
He's bigger. He's on the bigger side, but they are assholes.
Really,
they're also really old now, so they're crotchety.
They're old, grumpy, crotchety, and small and mean. And I'm just like, yeah, me too. But like, I don't go around biting people. Rude.
It would be very
and old Yule, like, yeah, well, yeah, I'd be in prison.
Anyways,
so tell me more about Candlemas, or if you're done, proceed on to your Italian.
Oh no, there's so much more.
Oh, please go.
Hold on. So we're saying goodbye to winter. And we're welcoming spring. So yes, we still have those 6 more weeks of winter, technically. But we're starting to see spring come. Yeah. Like, always, like, usually around, like, the week after Imbolc, on my drive to my parents, there is a section where Easter lilies grow. Like, this whole bank of Easter lilies. And I know when spring is coming, because you can start seeing them grow. And then whenever they bloom, you know that snow's done.
Yep.
Like, or you'll have like one more snowstorm. That's it. You know. And like at this point in time in the year, you can also start seeing like other things starting to grow too. Mm-hmm. So like those really hardy plants that are like made for cold weather, they're starting to sprout and everything like that. And because of this, it's also the perfect time to start planting your garden. So that's one of the activities.
I do know that.
That's one of the activities that you can do on Imbolc is to plan your garden, or plant seeds in pots to be ready mm-hmm. to replant on the equinox.
Yeah.
So that's like one little thing that you can do because it is the start of the agricultural year too.
Mm-hmm.
So traditionally speaking, they would start their, like start prepping for their planting in the spring. But this was also the time of the year that goats, cows, and sheep started lactating, which means, I know, right? But because of that, it makes dairy very important to Imbolc. Very important. Like, when it comes to the food for Imbolc, it's dairy. Yeah, so like milks, cheeses, butters, too, even though that's not really dairy, but like... yes.
Those are known as the white meats. I don't know if you knew that.
The white meats.
It's really, it is.
Yeah.
Back in the way days, when people were poor, but they had like a cow,
mm-hmm.
But it was you know, not wise to butcher the cow because you only got one. That making milk and cheese and like bread from milk, yeah. etc. That those are the white meats. It's a fun fact about food.
So yeah, we're in this part of like this spot with Imbolc where we're like starting to prep for winter to be over. We're waking mm-hmm. up, but we're also still like in a space of like self-contemplation and planning for the future. So like it is very normal to celebrate Imbolc by yourself. It's actually pretty traditional because it's still winter and like traditional times, like people didn't go out and hang out with friends in the middle of winter. They stayed inside. Right.
Yeah.
So like the spiritual activities or the activities that you can do for Imbolc, that's kind of generalized. It's not like brigade specific because there is a couple mm-hmm. that are brigade specific that I'll say, but like you could do spring cleaning, like pre-spring cleaning kind of thing to start getting this dust and crap and clutter out to make way for like those new things and those new beginnings kind of ideas for spring. That self-contemplation and planning. I personally am going to finish setting my goals for the year on that day because it's perfect mm-hmm. for it. And then self-care. Imbolc is the self-care holiday, which is
love that.
My favorite. Yeah. So something that I'm going to do, and this is something that you could traditionally do too, is take a milk bath. Right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like that's what this holiday is for. You got your dairy and you can add like the herbs and everything to it. Add some oranges or lemons mm-hmm. to signify the sun. And there you go. You got this really nice milk bath going and everything, and it's really good for your skin. And
just make it Kara tea.
Yeah.
Just stew.
Just do
steep in your own milk tea.
But personally, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be making goat milk soap.
Ooh. You got your hands on some goat's milk?
Yeah. I have goat's milk cool. soap. Base. You can get it at Michael's.
Oh, the well, that's cool. Base.
Yeah, you can get it at Michael's.
I had no idea. That's so mm-hmm. cool.
All of the soap that I have been using for the past 3 months is handmade goat's milk soap.
How cool. Right? Is your skin loving that or what?
Oh my god. Listen, not only does it smell good, milk doesn't smell good to me, but goat's milk actually smells good. It kind of has a little bit of a coconutty scent in a way.
Huh.
Not only does it actually smell good and blends with the other scents and herbs that you put in it really nicely, mm-hmm. very subtly, it is the anti-aging soap. Ooh. Because you can feel it tightening your skin.
Okay.
Like, it is...
I look like one soap, please.
I'll mail you some. I'm going to be making, like, 5 bars of the same type of soap on Imbolc, so I can mail you one.
Sure.
Or the next time you're in. Whatever.
Whenever.
I personally am going to be making it with lavender, chamomile, and jasmine, which are 3 herbs that are very, that are correspondences for Imbolc in general. So those are the things I will personally be doing. And that is something that overall you can do whether you, you know, follow the more traditional with Brigid or not. Now, if you are following it with Brigid, they're the traditional thing with that one is making either corn husk dolls, or the cross, the Brigid's cross, out of wheat. Both of them, like, you're supposed to make them out of wheat, right? I actually have this one thing that I read. Hold on. So this says is the corn husk dolls represent Brigid as the maiden, because we're also moving the goddess from the crone of winter into the maiden for spring. So she's representing the maiden. And in some areas, women and girls would carry the dolls in a procession throughout the town, collecting gifts and offerings as they went. And then they would place the doll on the dinner table and have a feast. So that was like the tradition thing, like in the Celtic tradition.
Yeah. I just want to like say, like, processions and feasting can't be a pagan festival without, or a pagan holiday.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Parade and food.
So the other thing with it is the candles, the big candle thing.
Yeah.
Because Candlemas and everything. That's because they use candles to symbolize Brigid's eternal flame, because she is a fire goddess. Mm-hmm. And you light one, and on Imbolc, she comes house to house and places blessings and cleanses the house from the winter and everything like that. And in some places, like, some people will actually make a bed up for her to stop and spend the night if she needs to rest.
That's so sweet of them. That's really adorable. It's really, I like that.
Yeah, I like it too. But it's, like, their way of, like, you light a candle to honor her, and she comes around, and she cleanses and blesses your home before spring comes. Like,
I'm gonna have to find more candles.
That's cool. Something that, like, you can also do, you can light one candle, but there is also, like, the tradition of lighting every candle in your house, for the entirety of Imbolc, which means from sun up to sunrise the next day.
My house would burn to the ground. I have too many candles, and that is a long period of time.
So I think, like, now more modern, they would just light it for, like, from sunup to sundown, and then sunup to sundown again. Like, but the idea is to welcome back the sun. It's trying to pull the sun back with it. So, I mean, like, it makes sense. If you can't do candles, because I can't do candles, turn every light on in your house.
I mean, that would be easier or safer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe not.
Open your blinds. Let the sunlight actually come in. Turn on every light in your house, like, for the day. Like, obviously, electric bill would be terrible if you left it on for 20, like, from sun up to sundown. 48
hours, yeah.
Yeah, 48 hours. Like, also, I can't sleep when the light's on, so.
I can't either. Yeah. Actually, I think having the lights on when it's dark outside and you're trying to sleep is scarier than just sleeping in total darkness.
Really?
But that's just my brain. Yeah, because, I don't know, I'm just expecting, like, I'll be, like, sleeping with the light on and have my eyes closed and, like, peek an eye open and they'll be off and I'll be like, oh no! Somebody's in my house. You know. No one's gonna creep around my house and turn the light on.
Yeah.
So if it's already dark in there, I can't see my potential murderer.
That's fair. That's fair.
Tell me about Italian folklore.
So in Italy, they also celebrate Imbolc or Candlemas. At least in this book, it says they do. But it's also, let me see here. There was also Lupercalia, right? Which is usually celebrated around the 14th, 15th of February, right? So there was Lupercalia, and then there's also, like, a couple other things happening. And so the Roman Church, like, the Catholic Roman Church, came through and was like, listen, one, you're not doing Lupercalia anymore because sacrifices are bad.
Meanwhile, our whole religion's based off of one dude's sacrifice of himself. Proceed, though. Go on. Pop off.
But, yeah, the Roman Catholic Church came through and was like, listen, it was actually one specific pope. It was like, hey, Lupercalia is banned in Italy now because I don't like it.
What the fuck?
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me look this up.
I mean, I don't like Thanksgiving that much, but if I was in charge of it, I wouldn't like ban it.
Yeah.
I would ban people from talking about how much or how little food is on someone's plate, but that's about it. Not going to ban the whole freaking holiday. The current pope is apparently very cool.
Yeah. All right. Convinced the celebration of Lupercalia threatened the supremacy of the church over religious life, Pope Gelasius outlawed the festival during his pontificate between 492 and 496.
Way early on.
Yeah. And this says traditionally many people believe that Candlemas and Valentine's Day replaced Lupercalia.
Ah.
But yeah.
Valentine's
super early on. Valentine's Day has a pretty dark history.
It's like the St. Valentine's Massacre, right?
Yeah.
It's off after St. Valentine. Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Who I'm sure is also like some sort of deity that's been Catholicized. Because most of them are. I have found that one of my favorite saints is St. Olga of Kiev, but that's obvious reasons.
Oh my god, yes.
So cool.
She is a badass.
I tried to tell my husband her story, and he was like, why does that make her a saint? And I was like, she's the patron saint of revenge.
Yeah.
Also,
she fucked them up.
She fucked them up because they killed her husband, and she burned them to the ground. Ripped him apart.
Like, they ripped him apart. They tied him to two birch trees.
Like, murdered. Brutally murdered, and she set their world on fire.
With pigeons. Like with five different birds. And then she also had her men carry the boat of guys and, like, dump them in a trench and kill them. And at no point did these guys in this boat go, hey,
what? Maybe we shouldn't. Didn't they send, like, two or three boats to her and they all just died? Like, she just killed all of them?
And this guy was like, so are we engaged or what? And she goes, oh, maybe. Let me think about it some more.
Bang.
Just killed them all. I love her.
Right? Because, I'm sorry, who among us who are married to our, like, the, like, soul that we're supposed to be married to, who among us would not burn the world to ash?
I would fuck some people up.
It's like the TikTok where it's asking moms, like, would you kill for your child? And they're all like, no. And I was like, I would start a G word for my husband. I would burn everything to the ground. You don't understand. Like the world would burn.
For both of them, like my husband and my child, no one would be safe.
No.
I don't deal with that. Like, I would become the darkest Batman in the world. Like,
you would become the Joker. There is no Batman here. Because Batman would not kill people. Let's just be real. He doesn't. He has the ability to.
Yeah. I'd say the darkest. I'd turn Black Widow for somebody harming my family. How's that?
Yeah, there you go. That's better. I would go full Red Sparrow and just annihilate people. Please proceed before I spiral any farther off topic.
But anyways, Lupercalia.
Yeah, big circle back
to Lupercalia. But basically, like, so other than Lupercalia, traditionally they do celebrate in bulk because of the Roman Catholic Church coming over and saying, hey, listen, let's not celebrate any of these other pagans, and let's not give Juno any more credit, apparently, because why give Juno credit for anything? Which, give Juno some credit, fuck's sake. They decided to move everything to February 2nd as one major holiday to try to transition pagans into Catholicism. And the time is called Candelora or Candlemas.
I like Candelora.
I do too. Candelora or Candlemas, because people were blessed by candles distributed to the faith by the church. These candles were believed to possess protective virtues against calamities, storms, and the agony of death. The same practices and beliefs were earlier observed by pagan farmers who once lit torches for Juno's protection.
Much like the candles for Brigid.
Yes. So in this case, like, Juno would be the...
equivalent, yeah.
Equivalent, and that's what it seems like anyways. I have to do some more research on this.
We can't draw that parallel without the research, but it does seem like in place of, it's one of those regional things, you know?
Yeah. Like, and then
we're setting something on fire for the blessing of someone, and it's female.
Yeah.
Because spring is birth, and, you know, all the ladies.
And then we have Lupercus, which is in Mythos the puberty of the sun god. It's a celebration of purification and the beginning of fertility, which is again February 2nd. So that's what that book says. But Lupercalia, have you ever researched Lupercalia?
No, ma'am. Because
it happens on the 15th of February, which is again like one of those things that like they it was like around Valentine's Day. So they were able to kind of like push Lupercalia out and make people like celebrate either
instead
February
of
2nd or February 14th, like celebrate one of those days because it's Christianized, right?
Yeah,
or Catholicized, I guess, in this case because it's Italy.
Yep,
let's see here. It can be tracked to about the 6th century. As according to Roman legend, the ancient king Romulus ordered Romulus and Remus, his twin nephews and founders of Rome, to be thrown into the Tiber River to drown in retribution for their mother's broken vow of celibacy.
Romulus and Remus survive and are fed by a wolf or a bull or a cow servant, or something like that?
It's a wolf. Servant took pity on them, placed them inside a basket on the river instead of in the river. Because they were babies.
Le bebe.
They were babies. Not fair. Not fair to do this to twin babies because their mother decided to bang someone. Like,
yeah.
Just saying. Servant placed them in a basket on the river, and the river god carried the basket and the brothers downriver to a wild fig tree, where it became caught in the branches. The brothers were then rescued and cared for by a she-wolf in a den at the base of Palatine Hill, where Rome was founded.
Crazy how wolves and twins correlate.
Yeah.
Because
there's a lot of, like, correlations between wolves and twins.
Right, so in Greek mythos, Leto is the mother of Apollo and Artemis, and Leto is, like, cast out of, like, everywhere Hera can see, because she's obviously Hera's angry. And so Leto ends up on this, like, wolf-ravaged island, like, where there are, like, a bunch of wolves. And the wolves, like, take pity on her because she's, like, giving birth for 7 full days. And, like, she becomes, like, goddess of wolves or, like, wolf mother, etc.
And, like, Artemis, one of Artemis's, like, animals is a wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that nuts?
That is, I'm thinking about,
Norse mythology.
But also the, and this might be because of all this, but not in ACOTAR, but Throne of Glass, there is twin wolves, like they're wolf shifters. So they're fey, but they shift into wolves. One's black, one's white, and the white wolf is named Fenris. Like,
well, yeah.
And I can't remember what the, Connell is the black wolf. But I find that really interesting because they're twins, right?
Yeah.
And they're the wolves. And like there is a lot of twins and wolves. I would like to know more about this. That would have been a really good art history project.
It really would have been. Oh my god, the paper we could have written. Really missed out there. The paper that could have been.
When you're listening to this.
We have a paper for you to write.
We have a paper that the three of us need to write, and it's all about the correlation between twins and wolves in ancient Roman and Greek mythologies and Norse mythologies. Yeah. Okay?
Everybody, like, pick a religion.
Pick one. Let's go.
Oh my gosh. It's just such a random thing to pick. Like, it's such a random animal to associate with twins. Because you would think sun and moon or stars in the sky or, you know, something like that to associate with twins.
Yeah.
Wolves.
So, yeah, they were, the twins were adopted by a shepherd and his wife, learned their father's trades, killed their uncle, who ordered their death, found the cave den of the she-wolf after, so this is when they're older, found the she-wolf who nurtured them and named it Lupercal. And it's thought Lupercalia took place in honor to honor the she-wolf and please the Roman fertility god Lupercus.
I love that.
Yeah. So it did a
pagan Mother's Day.
Kind of, yeah.
Into it. That. Get into it.
My, like, here's where, like, I am a little, like, about Lupercalia is the ritual sacrifice of it. Like, they do, so they would, and trigger warning for anybody. I didn't even want to say this, but I feel like it's part of it, and I don't want to leave it out. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, festival began at Lupercal Cave with the sacrifice of one or more male goats, which is a representation of sexuality, and a dog.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like that either. They were performed by Luperci, which is a group of Roman priests. And then two naked Luperci were smeared with the animal's blood using the bloody sacrificial knife.
For what purpose?
It doesn't say.
They just decided?
The blood was then removed with a piece of milk-soaked wool as the Luperci laughed. I don't like that. Bananas. Like
that whole thing. Sounds
ritual sacrifice
really...
section. Yeah, like what does that have to do? With this being a celebration.
What does the milk have to do with anything?
Yeah, I do find it interesting the correlation between using male goats.
And milk
and a milk-soaked wool. The correlation between in bulk. Having goats and milk being two symbols. Like, I do find that interesting as a correlation. They would then feast after the ritual sacrifice. Afterwards, the Luperci cut strips, also called thongs, of goat hide from the newly sacrificed goats, and then ran naked or nearly naked around Palatine, whipping any women within striking distance with the thongs. Maybe there's a reason they banned
probably
the celebrations.
Probably a reason for... It's not very Christian-friendly.
Really women
a bunch
friendly.
Of naked, bloody guys harassing women with bloody fur.
They would randomly choose women's names from a jar to be coupled with for the duration of the festival.
Also often not a fan of that.
Often the couple stayed together until the following year's festival. Many fell in love and married. So I'm assuming in this case that the woman's names in the jar, it was consensual. Like, they didn't just, like, put every single woman's name in the jar. Like, I'm going to believe that it was probably not,
it's
but
probably
this is what
unmarried woman between X age and X age, right?
Yeah, probably. It doesn't go into that, but over time, though, the nakedness during this. The festival did lose popularity and it became more chaste, if still undignified, and women were still whipped on their hands by fully clothed men.
I'm so
Is that why nuns slap people's hands? Like, what is the correlation? Not that it's specifically, but I find it really interesting that Catholic school nuns will whip children's hands and then they whip women's hands during Lupercalia. Like, I find that an interesting connection there.
It's just physical pain. It's the hands, it's because it hurts.
Yeah.
If you've never been smacked across the knuckles with a ruler, it hurts.
Well, my dad has. He was born left-handed, right? And being left-handed.
So he was born evil.
I'm
in the eyes of the Catholic Church. Yeah, you're evil in the eyes of the Catholic.
And my nana would hit him on the hand with a ruler every time he tried to write with his left hand. So he used to be ambidextrous, but he is no longer. He can only write with his right hand now because of it. which is like there dark sides to history.
Yeah, that's a big one in the Catholic Church is that for some reason it's here's why is because sorry, side tangent. The left hand of God is the devil. That the right hand of God is Christ. So if you are left-handed, you're like born under the influence of quote-unquote the devil, which is why nuns and older Catholic women would like punish their children for writing left-handed to try and like smack the devil out of their children. So.
Nobody could beat the devil out of me.
Yeah.
I was also...
That's why, though.
Fun fact, I was also the only one out of me and my brothers not baptized as a child. My older brother was, and my younger brother was.
That's but very I was not. Interesting.
I don't know why.
I would like to know more about that.
I have no idea why. I asked my mom one time, she goes, we just never got around to it.
And here you are.
The only one not baptized. Yeah, I am a heathen.
At least you won't have to do an unbaptism, because that shit was emotional.
No?
That's a, sorry, we'll start another spiral. We can't, we cannot, we have to stop. Like, got it, gotta knock it off. Anyway, thanks for listening to this episode of the Witchy Spellcast. If you like what you've heard today, you can go ahead and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and now on Threads at The Witchy Spellcast. The link will be in our Instagram. Keep an ear out for our next episode coming to you in about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Any other closing arguments? Or
you mentioned how we're doing the season.
Yeah,
right?
I did. Yeah.
Okay, because I was half in, half out because of Baby G.
It's fine. I did mention that we're doing a bit more structure episodes in this new year, but if you would like to divulge some details, go ahead.
All right. So we decided for this year, our structure, we're going to be focusing on seasonal witchcraft. So you asked, y'all asked for herbalism, hearth and home, astrology. We're going to give you herbalism, hearth and home, and astrology. And a little bit about deities and a little bit about the seasonal holidays for each season. So everything's going to be broken down into seasonal sections. We're currently doing we're doing winter right now. Obviously, you're going to see in this season some astrology stuff. We're going to talk about some moon stuff, talking about the Lunar New Year next time.
I'm
and
very
how to use
for
the
that.
Moon. Yeah. And we're going to talk about love deities, so we can get a little bit of love in
might
on
go back
for
to
Valentine's
Valentine.
Day. We might talk might about St. Valentine again. Yeah.
if I might it's start not out of
spiraling.
Get your spiral out of St. Valentine before we record.
No, I think I already spiraled enough about St. Valentine.
Fair enough.
Because I'm blaming St. Valentine for my spiral, because I would not have spiraled like that if I had not, like, read that little portion.
Fair enough.
Who's? But yeah, we're gonna do some winter episodes, and then we're gonna get ready for some spring episodes. We're gonna do episodes about different herbs for each season. We're gonna do episodes about what to do hearth and home-wise for each season. I'm going to talk about the astrology of each season, and I'm going to get a bunch of questions from Rowan and Zaya.
Absolutely. I don't
as
know
we do.
Jack squat about astrology.
Zaya's going to talk heavily about deities every once in a while for each season.
That's
your thing.
Everybody's got their thing. You have astrology. I have deities. Rowan has the moon.
Yeah. And
he's got
we'll...
the whole fucking moon.
And we've already, like starting from the spring holidays, this was the last holiday that we needed to talk about. We have an episode on every single holiday now.
Nice.
So
and they can find that on our Spotify page.
Yeah, absolutely. So the holiday episodes for each season are going to be a little bit different than talking about what the holiday is and how to set, like, how we've been doing the holiday episodes. So those are going to be a little bit different. that's gonna be fun. Yeah, we've got quite a few things in the works.
I'm very excited for that coming year. It's gonna be really fun. It's gonna be fresh and new and exciting and
a little bit more structured.
Yeah, I'm excited to kind of grow into where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah,
and I'm excited for people to come along and listen to us while we do
Absolutely.
So. Hopefully, there's only a few spirals.
that was something that I was like, we need to not have any spirals or like side tangents. Yeah. Like we needed to cut the side tangents and the spirals. We still had them.
There's three of us. Two of us are autistic, and all of us are ADHD. So,
oh, I'm autistic too.
Then three of us are autistic, and three of us have ADHD.
I think.
What do you want? We have a general topic.
Yeah. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we hope you enjoy all the episodes to come and everything that's coming this year. We love y'all. Peace.
See you next time.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Witchy Spellcast. We hope you enjoyed this mystical journey with us. If you've been bewitched by our show, don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating or review. It helps us spread the magic to more listeners. Remember, the power of the craft is always with you. Keep those cauldrons bubbling, wands at the ready, and may your spells always find their mark. Until next time, blessed be.